Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a privilege to be here, and it's a privilege to be up here in front of God's people on his holy Sabbath day. Christ had a problem. When he came to this earth a couple thousand years ago, the people that should have been waiting for him and embracing him didn't even know him, didn't even recognize him as the Christ. And he, in his love, tried to show them what love was all about by telling them, you know, different stories. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Luke 10, verse 30. Everyone knows this story really well. It's the Good Samaritan. We're going to read the 6-7 verses here, Luke 10. Starting with verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he did what? He passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Then Jesus asked a question to the group, Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto them that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. If we understand the significance of this story and of how Jesus put it together, first of all, the Samaritans, as we know, were what? They were despised. They were assumed by the Jews that they were lost. In fact, the Jewish people thought that they were the only ones that, you know, had the oracles of God and were saved. And for them, for Jesus to even use the example of the Samaritan was like an insult. In fact, even the response wasn't like, well, it was the Samaritan that was the one that showed mercy. They said, well, the one that showed mercy, they wouldn't even want to identify with that. In other words, Jesus, when he came, he was trying to show these people that they weren't Christians. There was really no evidence that there was any Christianity or any love in, especially in the leaders' hearts. The other example or lesson we can learn from this is that this was someone that was in need, and the Samaritan, who was, I believe, in the story would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, reached out to the Samaritan. To the person that was been robbed and been left for dead, and he helped them. And I think this is an example that we need to obviously follow. Let's turn to Matthew 5. We're going to go to another well-known thing with the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to the Beatitudes, talk about some of the attributes of being a Christian. You know, isn't it interesting that Christ, for the most part, never really argued their beliefs or the theology? He was more concerned about their behavior because it was not what, you know, being a Christian should be. And so then he went on and said this, Blessed are the poor in spirit, starting with verse 3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. We're going to just keep skipping down. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Christ was talking about all these attributes that you will have that, you know, when you're a Christian. If we look over to Luke 6, Luke has a little more of an extending idea on this thought. Luke 6, we can go to verse 27. And it says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you." Now, it's very simple and easy to love someone that loves you. You know, it could be your brother, it could be your wife, whatever, but what about loving and doing good to people that hate you? That was a concept that probably they didn't get. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Then over to verse 35, it says, "But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for it is kind, for he who is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." Then it says, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." And then here's another big one, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye what shall be forgiven." It's so easy for us to, and I've heard it being said, I've heard it myself, and I probably said it myself, so I'll just be honest. Have you ever heard the thing where it says, "Boy, if I were in their shoes, I would blank, de blank, blank, whatever." And the first thing you know, should come to our mind is the fact that, first, we're not in their shoes. So if we're not in their shoes, you know, we really shouldn't go there. But unfortunately, you know, as we become, quote, more spiritually mature in Christ, and we say maybe have more answers for things in our own lives, we think that we can apply those same lessons to other people. And it's not biblical, it's not right, and all it does is create division. And it's just a thing to avoid at all cost. I think, you know, it was a statement, I'm not sure who coined it first, but I've heard it, read it somewhere. Being a theologian doesn't make you a Christian. We can have correct understanding and beliefs about a lot of different things. In fact, the priest, I assume, and the Levite in the story with the Good Samaritan probably had a good grasp of a lot of the truths of the Old Testament and about the Messiah and coming and how sin and the sanctuary and all that happened. But he didn't have what? He didn't have the love of Christ in his heart. If he didn't have the love of Christ, what good did it do him? In fact, if anything, it's a really bad representation of Christ to say, "Yes, I'm a Christian," but then if we're unloving, what kind of advertisement is that for our Heavenly Father? It's a bad one. And we'd be better off being completely, and I think it's what Christ is talking about too, we better be cold or hot, not being lukewarm. Having a form of Christianity or being a pretender, as I like to say, but would not, you know, having that hard experience, you are doing God a misjustice, or we're not doing him a favor at all. Now, when I'm speaking about this today, I'm speaking to my heart. One of the hardest things I have is to love people that don't love me or whatever. You know, it's a struggle, and God has given me victory over that. So all these things that we're reading about today should be introspective, or we should be looking, you know, if I'm a Christian, am I, you know, acting like a Christian, being a Christian? That doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect. That doesn't mean it's going to jeopardize my salvation and, you know, with my God. But there will be, I mean, we're going to have bad days. There's days things just don't work out. But the point I'm trying to make, and as a Christian, we're going to have a walk with the Lord where he is going to give us victory because Christ is more powerful than Satan. And he is, you know, going to be able to help us, you know, in areas of our life that we need help. Let's turn now to Luke 7. We're just over the page, verses 43 and 45. 43 through 45. And I think I wrote it down wrong, and I'm sorry. So I will paraphrase. I must be in the wrong chapter. But basically what I wanted to say was this, that can you have good fruit come off a bad tree? In other words, or can you have bad fruit come off a good tree? In other words, if we are followers of Christ, we will have good fruit. But if we are not, you know, it's going to be evident, it's going to show. So our fruit will show us, or be an indication or a temperature gauge of our relationship with God. There's a quote we're talking about. There's been more murders and more bloodshed in this humankind because of in the name of God or Christianity, and still going on today, that, you know, it's given Christianity a black eye. I would like to read some quotes from Gandhi, who was not a Christian, but some of his sayings I think are relevant for us. He says, an eye for an eye only ends up making the whole world blind. Here's a really good one here. It's easy to preach. It's another thing to practice. An ounce of practice is worth more than a ton of preaching. And my favorite quote of his about being a Christian is, I would be one if I only could just see one. Ultimately, I think the Bible should do a couple of things for us. One is to explain the plan of salvation, and knowing that there's good and evil, and when we follow the Lord, what happens, when we don't, what happens. But if we can also make the Bible as a God, and we can try to figure out every little detail of every little thing and miss the whole point. And the whole point is that we need a Savior, and that God wants our hearts. Now, he does want our minds, but he wants our hearts. If we turn to John 5:39, I think there was a sect of the Israelites that were so enamored with studying the Bible and trying to figure everything out that they missed the point. If we turn to John 5:39, and then actually before he also, it says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So their focus was in the wrong place. And they are they which testify of me. And then he goes on and says, and you will not come to me that ye might have what? You might have life. And what life is he talking about? He's talking about eternal life. And he's also talking about victory, overcoming our natures, and victory over sin. Victory or freedom from the tyranny of sin, as I've heard it said, and I love that concept or that thought. So now, looking inside ourselves, don't look at anyone else, don't look at me, especially, look, what evidence is there in your life and my life? In other words, can we prove that we're Christians by our experience or by our lives? It's one thing just to say I'm a Christian, but what does that mean? Some of the things I jotted down here, which I mentioned here, what do I love people who hate me? It's so easy to love people that you know, you have the same ideas and the same philosophies and thought. It could be, you know, politically, socially, whatever. But do I really have a love for people that I don't get along with? Am I willing to help all that are in need, including people of different races, faiths, social, political, etc.? Do we have any prejudice? If we do, that's not part of God's program. Do I carry wrongs done to me forever? Can we ever forgive and forget? We should be able to, we need to forgive and forget the pains it caused. That doesn't mean we don't forget the situation. I was reminded of one in Sabbath school class I completely forgot about that happened 12, 14 years ago. Now that it's brought up, I remember it. But, you know, it should, for me and for everyone, if someone has done us wrong, you know, we should just, you know, just let it go. For me, what's easiest for me is just to say that whoever it was just had a bad day, and that, you know, we all have bad days, and, you know, we need to let it go. We can't hold on, because if we do, if we can't forgive someone else, Jesus said, what? He can't forgive us. So I know this is pretty elementary stuff, but, you know, it's really important in our relationship and how we get along with each other, because something is always going to be said by somebody, and somebody's going to take it wrong or take it out of context, or sometimes we explain things differently. It may, to one person, sound like one thing, but to someone else, it sounds another. So, you know, we need to be really compassionate with each other when it comes to that. Here's a good one that's helped me. It's pray for people in our lives that we are in conflict with. It's hard to be upset with someone when you're praying for them. To me, that's really, really cool. I read this here just recently. I'll read it again. Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. You know, it's... life is short. Just chill, and you know, just don't think so highly of ourselves or opinions that we, you know, we have to be right. And even if we are right, even in our mind we think we're right, does it really matter if it's going to break up a relationship or create problems? I've already talked about the judging part. Ultimately, the indwelling Holy Spirit living in us has to accomplish how many things? All things. Any good thing that we can do can only come from one source, and that's from God. I think the sooner that we recognize that, you know, the better. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm going to do my best, and God's going to make up the difference. And yeah, there's some truth to that, but, you know, if you follow that through, that's you're going to end up with a thing. You're going to have some... could have a pride issue. It's like, man, if I can do some of it or help God, you know, that's going to make things better. And, you know, from my experience and from what I read in the Bible, we need to, you know, rely wholly on God. Our text today, talking about let this mind be you, which is in Christ Jesus, that's another sermon, another day. But, you know, we really need to get to the nuts and bolts of how this is to happen, how it's accomplished in our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a pretender as a Christian. I want to be the real deal. I want to be genuine. And I recognize it comes from God. But then I recognize my weaknesses, and we all have them. They happen to be different. You know, what happens when we, you know, things just don't work out just right? You know, we know we have promises that we can come to God, and we can always come to God. He's not going to forsake us or leave us. But we need to just come to an understanding or a grip in our lives and recognize that there's only one place that there are answers, and that is from God, allowing His Spirit in our lives. It's not God's fault that we fall. It's ours. That's all that I have today. I pray that you, you know, look inward and read some of these things over again. And, you know, if the Lord is speaking to you in different areas, that He can help you, because I know that He can. He's helped me, and I know He's helped all of us in certain areas. And that God's power is able to change us and to make us the way He would have us.
Father, I just pray that you'll carry this experience with us throughout the rest of this day. And I pray that you'll give us that experience that you are so eager to give to us. Thank you for taking us where we're at, but thank you for promising the power to take us forward to a place where we can't even imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.